Temptation had triumphed yet again, and Andy's cries had carried far across the savannah in the still night air. Since the ceremony, they had become Quinn's most trusted comrades. It was something Banneth had shown him. The ceremonies were more than simple worship. They had a purpose. If you lived through them, if you committed the rituals, you became part of the sect forever. There was nobody else after that. You were a pariah, irredeemable, loathed, hated, and rejected by decent society, by the followers of Jesus and Allah. Soon there would be more ceremonies, and all the Ivets would undergo their initiation. The ground began to flatten out. The trees were growing closer together now, with thicker undergrowth. Quinn plodded through another stream, boots crunching on the pebbles. He was wearing knee-length green denim shorts and a sleeveless vest of the same material, just right to protect his skin from thorns and twigs. They used to belong to Gwyn Laws. Rachel had given all his clothes to the Ivets as a thank you for keeping her field free of weeds and creepers. Poor Rachel Laws was not a well woman these days. She had become very brittle since her husband's death. She talked to herself and heard the voices of saints. But at night she listened to what Quinn wanted and did it. Rachel hated Lalonde as much as he did, and she wasn't alone in the village. Quinn took note of the names she confessed, and ordered the Ivets to ingratiate themselves with the disaffected. Lawrence Dillon let out an exuberant whoop and fired off his borrowed laser rifle. Quinn looked up in time to see a Venor shooting through the tops of the trees, the little lizard-like animal flowing like liquid along the high branches, its paws barely touching the bark. Lawrence fired again. A puff of smoke squirted from a branch where the Venor had been an instant before. "Cheech! But it's fast!"
"Leave it," Quinn said. "You'll only have to carry it the rest of the day. We'll bag some meat on the way back."
"Okay, Quinn," Lawrence Dillon said doubtfully. His head was cranked back, shifting from side to side as he squinted upwards. "I've lost it, anyway." Quinn looked up at where the Venor had been. The nimble tree-dwelling creatures had a blue-green hide which was nearly impossible to distinguish from more than 15 meters. He switched to infrared and scanned the treetops of the shadowless red and pink world his retinal implant revealed. The Venor was a bright salmon-pink corona, lying prone along the top of a thick bough, triangular head peering down nervously at them. Quinn turned the complete circle. "I want you to put your weapons down," he said. The others gave him puzzled glances. "Quinn? Now!" He unslung his laser rifle and laid it on the wet grass. It was a tribute to his authority that the others did as they were told without any further protest. Quinn spread his hands, palm open. "Satisfied?" he demanded. The chameleon suit lost its bark pattern, reverting to a dark grey. Lawrence Dillon took a pace backwards in surprise. "Shit! I never saw him!" Quinn only laughed. The man was standing with his back pressed against a qualtook tree 8 meters away. He pulled the hood back, revealing a round 40-year-old face with a steep chin and light grey eyes. "Morning," Quinn said in a jaunty tone. He had been expecting someone different, someone with Branith's brand of lashed-up mania. This man seemed to have no presence at all. "You've taken my advice, then. Very wise." "Tell me why you should not be eliminated," the man said. Quinn thought his voice sounded as though it had been synthesized by a processor block, completely neutral. "Because you don't know who I've told or what I've told them. That makes me safe. If you could go around snuffling out entire villages whenever your security had been compromised, you wouldn't be stashed away here, now would you?" "What do you want to talk about?" "I won't know that until I see what you've got. For a start, who are you?"
"This body's name is Clive Jensen."
"What have you done to him? Put in a persona sequestrator mnemonic?"
"Not quite, but the situation is similar. So, are you ready to talk now?"
"I will listen," the man beckoned. "You will come with me. The others will remain here."
"Hey, no way," Jackson Gale said.
Quinn held his hands up. "It's okay, it's cool. Stay here for 3 hours, then go back to Aberdale, whether I'm back or not." He checked the coordinate on the Guido block and started walking after the man in the chameleon suit, whose name used to be Clive Jensen.